Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
The fight over abortion rights took center stage again this week, this time in Arizona, where a judge temporarily prevented the state from implementing a law that would criminalize abortions after 20 weeks.
Maricopa County wants to argue that Roe v. Wade should be overturned.
The resolution would be for the court to say that Roe is no longer good law.
Abortion rights groups say it's the most restrictive such law in the country. It's exactly the kind of legislation abortion opponents have been calling for.
Many of us have known people that were born at the stage that we are trying to make abortion illegal at 20, 22 weeks. So it's a common sense and a compassionate thing to do.
Advocates on both sides point to a growing number of state laws restricting abortion, with much of the increase coming in the last 2 years, something of great concern to pro-abortion rights groups.
At some point, women and providers are going to cry uncle and just say, I can't do it anymore.
Abortion opponents say they have the momentum, and according to the Guttmacher Institute, 55% of U.S. women of reproductive age now live in one of the 26 states considered hostile to abortion rights. But neither side is backing down on this central issue in the culture wars. Arizona is just the latest battlefield.
We're reporting today inside Mississippi's last abortion clinic.
A law in Mississippi requiring that doctors at abortion clinics be certified OBGYNs with privileges at local hospitals was set to go into effect last month, threatening to shut down the state's only clinic until a judge issued a temporary restraining order. A Virginia law sets up new regulations for abortion clinics, such as requiring 5-foot-wide hallways, a move opponents say is really meant to shut clinics down. Those guidelines are still under review. For most voters, abortion won't be the most important issue in the presidential election this fall. Even so, the outcome in November will surely shape the debate. Athena Jones, CNN, Washington.
There's a story from CNN. Joining us to talk about state laws restricting abortion, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Moore. She's founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Glad to be with you.
Jennifer, we've heard about those state laws. I remember, I think it was President Bill Clinton who probably coined the phrase, and it has become stock of trade among the pro-abortion ranks, that abortion ought to be safe, legal, and rare. Why would they want it to be rare?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing. If they really think it's no worse than having an appendectomy or having a tooth pulled, why do they care whether it's rare or not rare? You know, he was saying that to sound like he was pro-life, but the fact that it had some resonance with people illustrates the fact that people really know in their heart of hearts that there's something more at stake here than just throwing away a piece of unwanted tissue like a fingernail or something.
So some have said that the incremental approach is a compromise against what the goal ought to be, which is a federal approach that is overturning Roe v. Wade, getting to the court and getting that decision put away for good. What is your response to that? We got about a minute before we take our first break.
Well, you know, Todd, I think we have to fight on all fronts. You know, we have to fight in the legislatures where we can. We have to try to reform the court if we can, and we have to educate the public where we can. So I'm not a person who's going to say, well, there's one grand strategy, and let's throw all our eggs into that strategy and ignore everything else. I mean, the fact is, overthrowing Roe versus Wade is not going to happen anytime soon. And it's especially not going to happen if we don't take all these other kinds of incremental educational reform type steps. I don't see how that is really going to work otherwise.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris is our guest. When we come back, we'll talk more about state laws restricting abortion. The real question here is, if everybody says they want it to be more rare, including those who are in favor of abortion, why are pro-choice forces opposing state laws that reduce the number of abortions?
Well, Justin and Emily are more than halfway through the tutoring program at Sylvan Learning Center. Emily has discovered a way of multiplication that fits her learning style and is getting faster with her facts. Justin is getting better at actively reading passages and pulling out the important points. Sylvan Learning Center has two Metro East locations, Edwardsville 618-656-0500, Shiloh 618-628-0018, and one in Creve Coeur 314-997-3035. Sylvan Learning.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is our guest. I'm Todd Wilk. We're talking about state laws restricting abortion. Seems to be the wave of the future, at least for the time being. Okay, let's put it all together, and you touched upon this before, Jennifer. What I don't understand is why are pro-abortion forces opposing these state-by-state laws that would simply restrict the number of abortions? Some of them are as simple as requiring abortion clinics to abide by the same standards of any other kind of clinic. Why would they oppose them if they hold to this safe, legal, and rare?
Well, Todd, I think that what's at stake here is that there's a whole ideology of contraception that these guys are in favor of. They believe that that sex is normally a sterile activity, and it's a recreational activity that has no moral or social significance. That's what they believe. That's what they're promoting. And so, in order to think that sex is a it has no moral consequences, you have to sterilize the act. And so, it's not enough to say we're going to just reduce the chances that you get pregnant. You have to be able to tell people convincingly that you can do whatever you want sexually and you don't have to worry about having a live baby ever inconvenience you. And so that's why they don't act like other kinds of health care. They don't act like other kinds of medical care. Most medical facilities welcome a certain amount of health and safety regulation. Most medical facilities are expect to have to give full information about side effects, for example. I'm at a conference right now. I just learned something very interesting. Obamacare does not give hormone replacement therapy the same kind of treasured and privileged treatment that it gives contraception. Now, think about that. Hormone replacement therapy is what old ladies take to make themselves feel better after menopause, and it has no sexual significance, right? But the research has shown that those hormones have risks associated with them, and so the Obama administration and other people have backed away from hormone replacement therapy because there are risks associated with those hormones. But wait a second. Those very same hormones are exactly the ones that are in contraception, and yet they pump and promote contraception like, they give it away like it's candy practically, right? It's preventive care to take these substances. So what all of that tells you, Todd, is that they're promoting an ideology. They're not promoting health care. They're promoting a view of the world that says that sex is normatively a sterile activity. And saying that there are no problems with abortion needs to be as cheap and as easy as having a tooth pulled, That is all part of the ideology that they're promoting. It doesn't have to do with choice. It doesn't have to do with health care. It certainly doesn't have to do with helping women and children.
But it's not like they're all working from a playbook. I mean, you won't hear the proponents of abortion say, look, our greater agenda here is to completely reorient the place of sex in the life of marriage and family. They won't say that. Do they even realize it themselves?
You know, that's a very good question. I think some of them do. I think some of them certainly do realize that that's what they're doing. But a lot of them don't. A lot of them are sort of going with the flow. You know, they now, by now, the culture of contraception and the ideology of abortion, those things are so deeply ingrained in our culture that you have to be kind of a countercultural radical, like you and I are, to call it into question. So there are a lot of people who are just drifting with it. But I do think that they're that kind of the leadership of the movement, I think those people know exactly what they're doing. They realize that what they're proposing is really quite radical and takes a lot of effort to promote. You know, you can't just say, okay, everybody, you get to choose whatever you want. And if some of you want to stay home with your babies, that's well. If some of you want to have 10 kids, that's well. You know, no, they can't talk like that. They've got a whole, you know, view of sex and how it fits into human society, you know, and part of that view is that you get to have unlimited sexual activity without a live baby showing up, unless you just happen to have quirky lifestyle preferences and you want that sort of thing. I think some of them know exactly what they're doing, and some of them are just drifting, Todd.
Is that why abortion is legally sacrosanct? That's why, I mean, everything else gets shoved off the desk if abortion is in the least way, the least way threatened.
You know, Todd, it's incredible, but if you look at the whole debacle over health care reform, and just think about this. The U.S. Catholic bishops have been in favor of greater involvement of the federal government in health care, going all the way back to the Eisenhower administration. They have favored, and in some cases, openly favored socialized medicine. Now, I don't agree with that policy, but that has been the bishop's policy. So if what Obama wanted to do was to have socialized medicine, he could have come up with a program that the U.S. Catholic bishops would have been glad to support. But instead, he came up with something that was guaranteed to be a stick in their eye because he had abortion funding and contraceptive mandate and all of those things all built into his health care plan. So instead of sailing through with socialized medicine, with free doctor's office visits and all the things, wonderful things that they thought would happen from socialized medicine, instead of doing that, no, he threw all of that to the wind in favor of promoting the abortion and contraceptive ideology and created a big firestorm and a big, opened a big hornet's nest that shows very, very clearly that his higher priority was abortion and not health care.
Why is it that the biggest proponents, including President Obama and many who work for him and his administration, why is it they don't say abortion is my highest priority?
Now, that is a good question, because their actions scream it. You know, their actions just scream that that's what they think. But somehow they still don't feel like they can quite bring themselves to say that that's their highest priority. That's a very good question. Perhaps it's a lingering guilty conscience that they know that what they're doing is right.
If they were to say this, and I don't know of any that ever has, even the most ardent proponent, not necessarily in the White House, but in the whole pro-abortion movement, just come out to say, my highest priority is abortion and keeping it unrestricted in every sense. If they were to say that, what else would they have to admit about what their agenda is?
Well, that's very interesting because, you know, every once in a while you do see somebody say that. You know, every once in a while you'll hear usually an academic of some sort, you know, make such a pronouncement, you know, and basically say that this is the most important thing, and you know, I don't care if it is a human being, I don't care if it is a person, you know, those kinds of things. If they were to say that, what else would they have to admit? I guess they'd have to admit that they haven't been entirely truthful about their motives all along, and they'd have to hear what they really sound like. I mean, most people recoil from what that sounds like. Remember, Todd, we talked about this a while ago. Do you remember? I can't remember how long ago it was. Some ethicists came out with this proposal for post-birth abortion. Remember they were talking about that?
Yeah, I remember it well. Yeah.
they were basically promoting infanticide, you know, and saying, you know, gee, this is the logical outgrowth of our position on abortion, and so why not, you know? And they were correct. The logic of what they were saying was absolutely impeccable. If you accept abortion for these reasons before birth, there's no reason you shouldn't accept infanticide after birth, you know, for the exact same kinds of reasons. They were just following the logic through. Well, there was a huge outcry over it because it sounded so revolting. I think it forces people to face what it is they've actually been advocating. And rather than retracing their steps and saying, well, gee, maybe we've been wrong about this all along, they just kind of throw a blanket over it and hope nobody notices that, gee, somebody just said something inappropriate, socially inappropriate. That seems to be the strategy. But I do think that those kinds of maneuvers, those kinds of little skirmishes like that post-birth abortion articles did, that those kinds of little skirmishes do have the impact of softening people up a little bit, so that what used to be outrageous is considered perfectly normal. We do have to be on the lookout for that.
Before we let you go, Jen, we spoke with you last week right before the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. In retrospect, with only about a minute here, what should we learn from that story?
You know what? The main thing we should learn from the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day is that we are not alone. That when you looked around at your local Chick-fil-A and saw all the other people there who were there to support the Cathy family and to support marriage and to support religious liberty, you are not alone. All those photos you saw on Facebook or on the news with cars lined up for miles and miles to go in there, what you should look at and see is comfort for the fact that you are not alone. And therefore, you need to quit being scared and come on out from under the bed or wherever it is you're hiding and come on out and open your mouth, because you aren't the only one who thinks what you think. And that's what people need to take from the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. You will find a link to the Ruth Institute at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thank you again.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Jesus, the bread of life, John chapter 6. It's a huge discussion with our pastor's roundtable, including Pastor Michael Walther, tomorrow on the program. Also tomorrow, we'll continue our series on the historic liturgy, talking with Pastor Will Whedon about the salutation, that is, the Lord be with you. And one of the questions that often follows after that salutation is, how do you respond? There are two responses. One is ancient, the other not so much, but people need to know the difference. And as time permits, we'll continue in that series getting into what the salutation leads to, which is the collect, one of the most ancient elements in all of the historic liturgy. Tomorrow with Pastor Will Whedon right here in the studio. Speaking of Pastor Whedon, he actually has a cameo in the new Issues Etc. YouTube video. Not only him, but other guests and topics. It's really kind of, what is Issues Etc. about? What do they talk about? By the time you're done with that short YouTube video, watching it, sharing it with your friend, emailing a link to everybody you know, you'll know what Issues Etc. is all about, and you'll encourage those you share it with to listen to Issues Etc. as well. Thanks for sharing it. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org. It's right on the homepage. Send the link to a friend you know and share it on Facebook and help promote Issues Etc. Thank you in advance for doing so. We can see straight through the agenda. Really, anybody can. What's on our side? The truth is on our side. Right is on our side. Not necessarily might, but right is on our side. And we know the other side's goals. We know that they're not willing to be honest about those goals, but we can be honest. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Hi, this is Jonathan Cullen from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.